were easily accessible to all people. The cities were safe and near to all. So is salvation. Salvation is near to everybody in this room, or everybody in the entire world for that matter. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to be saved. You don't have to go to the Pope in Rome to be saved. You don't have to go to the priest to have your sins forgiven. You don't even have to come to a church building to have your sins forgiven and become a child of God. You can kneel where you are and receive Christ where you are. In the kitchen washing dishes there, you could bow your head and lift your heart to God and be saved. On a ball field, if you're playing on an athletic field, you could bow your head there and receive Christ. Working at the bench or at the desk of your employment, suddenly you could be overcome with your need of Christ, could bow your head and receive Him there. So these cities were placed, not all six where the rich people were, not all six in the north or the south, or all six on the east or on the west, but a city here, one here, one here, one here, one here, one here, so that there is one close enough to anybody who needs to be saved from the pursuance of an enemy. But that isn't all. These cities were for strangers as well as for Jews. If a Jew killed someone unawares, accidentally, he could flee and find refuge and safety in one of the six cities of refuge. But did you know any stranger coming through the land could find the same refuge? A wonderful picture that salvation is for everybody. The rich, the poor, the high, the low, the learned, the unlearned, the educated, the illiterate. Salvation is for all. But that isn't all. There's something so beautiful, I think, here. And that is, each of these six cities was located on a mountain. These cities could be seen from great distances. In fact, just about anybody in the entire land could see one of the cities of refuge or the mountain on which it was built from his own hometown. For example, Kadesh, one of the cities, was on Mount Naphtali. Shechem was on Mount Ephraim. Hebron was on the mountain of Judah. And on and on I could go to tell you that all of the cities of refuge were on a mountain. God wanted to let people know salvation is easy to see. And I want everybody to be able to see a city of refuge, which means that it's not hard to be saved. Every once in a while somebody said, I heard a preacher on the radio the other day. He said, if you don't know that you're saved, if you want to go to heaven, he said, you've got to do seven things. You've got to repent. You've got to believe. You've got to confess. You've got to obey. You've got to endure. Good night, I could die and go to hell while he's learning how to be saved. No, salvation is easy. Across this nation, sometimes some preacher who doesn't care much for me, and that's always hard to understand why anybody would not like a lovable, sweet, non-controversial, bland personality such as I am, but they'll say, yeah, Ohio's preaches easy believism. Yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. I preach easy believism. I preach that God wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved, and God's more anxious for you to come to Him than you are, and if you will give this, if faith the size of a grain of mustard seed could move mountains, don't you think God makes it a simple matter of faith for us to be saved? God puts salvation so all can see, but that isn't all about these cities of refuge. Did you know that the roads were wide and clear? Stones, every stone was moved off the road. Care was taken that no stone would be in the way and that the road was smooth and wide. Wide bridges were built to cross any river or stream that might be in the way. At every crossing, there was a man's finger pointing, or suppose there was a fork in the road, a man's finger was pointing toward the right way, and the word Miklat was written, which means refuge, so that everyone might know exactly how to get to the city. And that's what God has done concerning salvation, concerning Jesus Christ. He's made it easy for us to be saved. He's placed it on a mountain, Mount Calvary. He's made the road easy to travel. He's taken away the obstacles. He's pointed the way in this blessed book so that anybody who's a sinner can come to Christ and be born of the Spirit of God. Now I want you to notice for a few minutes the names of these, and this is the message for this morning. These six names bear an unusual and, I think, a very interesting significance in the Scripture. The name of the first, bear in mind now, these six cities represent Jesus. The murderer represents a sinner fleeing to the city, representing a sinner fleeing to Jesus for salvation. The name of the first is Kadesh. What does Kadesh mean? The word Kadesh means holiness, a place of refuge for the unclean. Holiness, a place of refuge for the unclean. That's the way you get saved. You come to a holy God and find refuge for sinners. Somebody says, I'm not so bad. I'll just join the church. And you'll die and go to hell without hope at all. Somebody says, well, I tell you, I'll just turn over a new leaf. Brother, you got to get the old leaf straightened out first and washed. Somebody said, well, how's that? I'll tell you what, I'm not as bad as some sinners. I know you may not be, but you're bad enough to deserve to go to hell. And everybody in this room this morning, I don't care what church you belong to. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care if you took a quart of the Lord's Supper a while ago. I don't care if you've kissed the toe of the Pope in Rome and been blessed by the College of Cardinals. And if every Baptist preacher in the country has baptized you, and if Billy Graham baptized you and Billy, you got saved walked the aisle on the Billy Sunday, you're a sinner. And you've got to get born again to go to heaven. And only sinners can go to the city of refuge. A person admits he's a sinner, admits that he couldn't save himself, and he had to run for safety and fled to the city of refuge. And it was holiness, a place of refuge for the unclean. Did you know you can't clean floors with a dirty mop? And did you know you can't clean clothes with dirty water? And you can't clean your glasses with a dirty cloth? And you can't clean your soul with a dirty instrument either? That's why the church can't save you, because you can't clean sins with a dirty instrument. The church is composed of dirty people. The church is composed of sinners. And no sinner can save another. So that means that the person has got to come for salvation to get his sins forgiven, his sins cleansed, to holiness. And so the very first city was holiness, a place of refuge for sinners. He alone is clean. He alone is the perfect one. Salvation is in Him. So often people come to our church, and all over town they spread such wicked lies as this. They say, he says that the Methodist church is not the right one. And I believe that. Don't think the Methodist church is the right one. Somebody else says, yeah, he says the Catholic church can't save you. And I believe that. Catholic church is not the right one either. And somebody else says, yeah, Hiles says the Presbyterian is not the right church. Yeah, that's right. Presbyterians aren't the right church either. They're not the right ones either. But they don't go quite far enough. They're not honest enough to say that Hiles also said the Baptist is not the right one either. As a little, one time, preachers were talking in a ministerial association, and they were discussing about what church our Lord would have belonged to if he'd lived today. And one said, he believed in Methodists. I think he'd been a Methodist. And one important fellow stood and said, I think he would have sprinkled like a Presbyterian. And another fellow said, not me. I think our Lord would have believed in confirmation, would have been Episcopalian. And they asked the Baptist preacher, said, what do you think? And he said, I don't think you'd have changed. I think you'd have stayed a Baptist. No, I don't think that the Baptist is the right one either. No, it's not the Methodist sprinkling or the Baptist baptism. No, it's not the Catholic Pope or the Baptist evangelist or the Baptist church. No, not any of them. You've got to come to something that's clean to get you saved. And our Lord is clean. So that first city, look at it, way up high on a hill, the city of Kadesh. It means holiness, a place of refuge for sinners. And if you get saved, you'll have to come to Him who is our refuge. Oh, listen, other hope is to no avail. Other ways are wrong ways. There's only one way. Nowadays people say, well, we're all religious and all working for the same place. Two things wrong with that. First place, nobody works for heaven and gets there. In the second place, we're not all going to the same place. In the third place, there's only one road to heaven. And that's not the Baptist road, or the Episcopalian road, or the Catholic road, or the Mormon road, or the Seventh-day Adventist road, or the Jehovah Witnesses road. That road's the Jesus road. And this morning, if you're a sinner, what you need is Jesus. I recall reading a story years ago, and I don't know why I thought about it all of a sudden. I'm not even sure I can tell it exactly right, and I'll do the best I can. There was in Oslo, Norway, once, a couple. His name was Nansen, Many of you folks know Nansen as being a great explorer of the North Pole. Nansen took an expedition to the North Pole, took a group of men with him to try to explore hitherto unexplored and uninhabited areas of the world. But his wife missed him so much, and she didn't want him to go. And Nansen said he must, and so after seasons of pleading, she failed. And Nansen took his men and went to hitherto unexplored territories of the North Pole to explore. His wife thought he should never see him again. And so she, first day, she sat beside the window in the morning. She opened the window and looked out the window, wondering if Nansen would come back. And the second morning, she went to the same place, and she looked out the window looking for her husband to return. And the third morning, for an entire year, she waited. He never came back. Everybody lost hope that he was that the men or Nansen were ever saved, even saved. And every morning, she'd get up and look out again and look out again. And for 2 years, she looked out. Nobody had hope, but she had hope. She'd look out toward the north, toward the Northland, from Oslo, Norway, toward the vast space of the Northland, looking to see if maybe some news or some hope would come. Finally, after 30 months, one day, day after day, she'd always sat at the same window. After 30 months, she heard on the window. And she went to the window, and there was a little dying pigeon, just barely strong enough to tap on the window. But that little dying pigeon was at the window. And she looked at the pigeon, and she noticed that the pigeon had a quill. In that quill was a piece of tissue paper. It was a carrier pigeon that had come over so many miles of wasteland and was dying even then. And Mrs. Nansen reached out and took a little piece of tissue paper in the quill that was on the bird. And she kissed the bird and hugged the bird and kissed its fluttering, dying wings and opened that little piece of paper. And all it said was, "All is well. All is well." For 30 months she'd waited. I'm talking to somebody here this morning who's been wanting to be saved for so long. Oh, you've wanted to be saved. You want to know how. You've been to the certain church and confessed your sin and gone away with an emptiness in your soul. And you've come back to the window wondering if there's any hope at all. And you go to bed at night and you say, "I wish I knew I were saved. I wish I knew I would go to heaven if I died. I wish I knew it was right with God." So you went to a church and you took communion and you hoped that would be it. But that didn't do it. Maybe you got baptized. That didn't do it. You joined a cult, maybe. Maybe you'd gotten the Jehovah's Witnesses, which are neither Jehovah's nor Witnesses, like grape nuts, neither grapes nor nuts. And then you tried the Christian Science, and that's neither Christian nor scientific. And then you tried the Mormons, and you tried communion, and you tried sacraments, and you tried confession in a telephone booth to some man, and then you tried this and that, and yet you're still hungry. What you're looking for and don't know it is not a church. You're not looking for a church. In your soul, there, your body, there beats an ever-dying soul that cries out and hungers for fellowship with the God who made it. And that peace that for which you're looking, and that thing that you for which you hunger, is found only in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You will not find it in a church; you'll find it in Jesus. You'll not find it in a ritual; you'll find it in Jesus. Let me tell you something, Brother Helton prayed a while ago about it. Out yonder this morning in this great vast sea of faces, there's somebody tucked away in the balcony up here, maybe, or maybe up here in the center balcony. Or over here, or somewhere in the corners of the lower floor, there's a heart that's beating this morning, and you want to know God, and you've tried everything you know, and you've gotten on your knees and tried to pray, and you've gone through the Bible, and you've gone to preacher after preacher, and you still don't have the peace of God. Oh, let me tell you something. Whenever you come to the place to where you receive the message from heaven, all is well, and you bow on your knees in a pasture, in a parking lot, in a house somewhere, wherever you are. Bow on your knees and look to God and say, "Oh God, I'm not going to trust a church anymore. I'm not going to trust a preacher's ceremony anymore. I'm just going to come to Jesus. And I'm Jesus. I trust you as my hope for heaven. I trust you as my Savior." Brother, when you do that, you found the way. And the peace that you've sought for these long, many years, you will find in Jesus. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. What you're hungry for is Jesus this morning. What your soul thirsts for is Jesus this morning. And so that first city, that city up there on the top, that city of Kadesh, holiness, that's the way you get saved. But there's a second city, if you look carefully. It's also on a hill. The name of that city is Shechem. And the word Shechem means shoulder. Shoulder. You know where you, well, what you, when you come to the city of refuge, here's a murderer. And that, hey boys, on the front, sit back. Sit back and listen to me. And here's a city, a murderer, and he murders somebody accidentally, and he flees the city. What's the first thing? He comes to a city known holiness, a refuge for sinners. But the second city is called Shoulder. What does that mean? That means that once you come to Jesus, bless God, He puts you on His shoulders. And He holds you on His shoulders. You have to hang, people say, bless God, I'm trying to hold out faithful to the end. Brother, you didn't start faithful in the beginning. You can't hold out faithful to the end. You don't get saved by holding out. This morning in this service, we had a wonderful blessing in the Sunday school class. I want to share it with you. A fellow stood up right back here this morning, and he told a beautiful story. He told how that he came to our rescue mission several years ago and was saved in the Hammond City Rescue Mission. He was saved there. And how that after he was saved, God called him to preach. And now he's pastoring a church. Brother Sully, nobody knew this. I didn't know it. He's pastoring a church. One of the fellows came down the aisle one Sunday, saved at the rescue mission. Huh? These fellows, you say, I wonder what ever happened to them. Well, one of them at least got saved, baptized, called to preach. Now he's pastoring a church. Stand up, my brother. What is your name? You're looking at a man right now, saved because of our rescue mission. What church do you pastor now? Lafayette, Georgia, the Corinth Baptist Church. God bless you, brother. Let's give him a hand. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, let me tell you something, folks. I say, I'm holding out. No, you don't hold out. You get on his shoulders. The Bible didn't say when Jesus told the story of the little lamb that was lost, said that the shepherd left the 99, and he went out in the woods and the mountains, and he found this little lamb, and he said, now, little lamb, I'm going to hold my finger out here. You stick your teeth around my finger and hold on. I'm going to take you back. He didn't say that. He didn't say, little lamb, said you just hang on to me now. Said, you get your teeth and hold on to my... Do lambs have teeth? Hold on to my clothes out here, and I'll pull you back. If you can hold on... Oh, no, the lamb couldn't hold on. Most helpless animal in the world is a little lamb. They got a mountain to climb. They got jagged edges to pass. They've got a long journey. A little lamb can't hold on. Oh, the shepherd didn't say, little lamb, hold on. The shepherd said, took the lamb and put the lamb on his shoulders and carried him all the way back home. And blessed be God, when Jesus saved me, he didn't say, hold out faithful to the end. He said, just get up on my shoulders and I'll take you all the way home. And so the second city is the beautiful, beautiful city up on top of a hill. First one, holiness is refuge of sinners. I found that one time, but I found more than that. I found the second city, Shechem, called a shoulder. There's a third city, and that city is called Hebron, and I like this one very much. Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship. Now let me just explain to you. Fellas, let's all of us be murderers. Want to? Huh? Who you want to? Just choose anybody in the choir you want to kill, and I'm going to be the first murderer. Accidentally. And there's a city of refuge over here. And there's the high priest sitting over there. Dumb-looking high priest, but a high priest. And I'm gonna run right quick-like. And I'm going to get over here. Whew, man, I'm safe. I'm safe. And my pursuer can't get in. I'm safe. Boy, it's good to be here. Woo! I killed a fella. And by the way, so did you. You killed him on a cross. You're a murderer. And so here comes old Ray Bordway. Good night. Oh, hey, whoa, what's the trouble?
I killed somebody. Accidentally, but I killed somebody.
You killed somebody? Well, you're safe here. I've been here a few minutes, and I feel much better. And look at that. Comes old boy. He did it with one hand, too. Well, what happened to you?
I killed a man.
Boy, you used the right place. And look at there. Here comes old Fisk. He probably killed 8 or 10.
I killed 8 or 10.
He killed 8 or 10. And here comes old Helton. He couldn't kill anybody, little as he is.
I shut an old woman down. She died.
Yeah. Okay. Now follow this, brother. I'll fire him. Anybody gets funnier than I am gets loses his job. And so, boy, now get this. Here five of us are, all murderers. Well, I'll tell you what, I feel much better. You know, I could be dead right now. I'll tell you what I did. I was driving down the street in a chariot, and a little boy came out in front of me. I didn't mean to hit him, but I did. And I killed him. That's what happened to me. What was your story?
I shoved that old lady down.
Shoved old lady? And you didn't mean to do it?
No, I didn't.
And, boy, isn't it wonderful to be here? Oh, listen, what was your deal?
I lost my temper.
And you didn't mean to kill him?
No, I didn't mean to kill him. And
hit him with your right hand?
Yes, sir.
And what'd you do?
I was moving some rocks and accidentally killed someone when I moved the rock.
Oh, boy, I want you to know, isn't it good to be here?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something, folks. I bind you there wasn't a city in all of Palestine where they had the sweet fellowship they had in the cities of refuge. Boy, we had something in common. Man, we can sing a song, praise the Lord, glory to God. We're safe, aren't we? All of us could have been killed. Boy, isn't this a wonderful city? Oh, I'm glad. You know, it's amazing how close I feel to you fellows. All of us had committed the same thing. It sure is good to be here, isn't it? And you know, that's what the dear Lord Jesus does for you. After you come to this city of refuge, a place for sinners, a place of holiness, He puts you on His shoulder. Then He says, I want you to get in a good old fundamental church where you can just come together about 3 times a week and thank God you're back to the city, and thank God you're safe, and thank God you're saved. That's what the church is all about. Thank you, fellow sinners. And that's what the church is all about. Every once in a while, somebody says, well, I belong to the big church. No, you all belong to a local church. Well, I belong to the Black Wash Church. So do I. But that's not enough. God wants His people. You and I are murderers. We killed Jesus. But blessed be God. Somebody told us about Jesus, the city of refuge, and told us how we could be saved. And so we come together every Sunday and we sing, He filled my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He filled my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what it's all about. A church, these fellows, can you imagine these five fellows over here in the city of refuge? Sing, let's sing the sevenfold Amen. Amen. Oh, man, they're not in the mood to sing the sevenfold Amen. They want to sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since the city of refuge became a place of protection for me. They were happy, found a new place. And when a person gets saved, he's placed on the shoulders of God and Jesus. But more than that, God wants him to get in a church where he can fellowship with like redeemed people who've been saved with the marvelous grace of God. But there's a fourth city. And I like this. It means stronghold. Stronghold. What are these cities? First city? A place of safety for sinners. Holiness. Second city, shoulders. He holds us on His shoulders. Third city, fellowship. God's people. But the fourth city, Bezer, which means stronghold. Let me show you something. Fellows, come back over here a minute, would you please? This is the high priest over here. You know how long, fellows, you know how long we can stay in this city? We can stay in this city as long as the high priest liveth. And here's the high priest right here. Now, boy, when he dies, we got to go back out there. And we're going to have to face those folks that are after us. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to give him one-a-day vitamin tablets. I'm going to give him lecithin, and he's going to drink carrot juice. What are you going to do?
Seven grain bread.
We're going to feed this fellow. Take care of yourself. You know why? Because our only hope is for this guy to live. Right. If he ever dies, we're gone. What are you going to do for him?
I'm going to give him a lot of fruit.
A lot of fruit and a lot of juices. You going to let him drink any coffee?
No, sir.
Not a drop of coffee. We're going to take good care of yourself now. Why? Because as long as the high priest lives, we're okay. Hey, let me tell you something. In the city to which we've come to Jesus, He's the city, and we're safe. How long are we safe? As long as the high priest liveth. Huh? Hebrews 7 says, He ever liveth. He never dies. He was alive. He died, but He rose again. And He'll live as long as there's a God in heaven. He'll never die. How safe am I? As long as the high priest lives. How long am I saved? As long as the high priest lives. How will I fall from grace? When the high priest dies. You see? Because I didn't deserve to be here. But it's a wonderful thing. As long as he lives. Thank you very much, fellas. As long as the high priest lives. So, there are four of the cities. First one, that's holiness, a place of refuge for sinners. Second one, shoulders, where he puts us when we come to him. Third one, fellowship, redeemed ones rejoicing in our common salvation. The fourth one is stronghold. But there's a fifth city. It's called Ramoth Gilead. It means exalted. Exalted. Let me tell you what that means. Did you know that the prettiest cities in all of Palestine were the cities of refuge? Huh? You know who had the best houses in all of Palestine? Folks in the cities of refuge. Huh? You know where the prettiest view was in all of Palestine? From the cities of refuge. You know where the most beautiful scenery was in all of Palestine? From the cities of refuge. The Lord said, I'm going to gather all these old murderers up and put them in the best towns in the whole country. And that's what God does to us. He takes, you know what this church is? This church is a bunch of old sinners. I could almost close my eyes and point to some guy that was an alcoholic before he came to this church. All over this building. Mean as the devil. I mean it. I could just point. Sometimes people say to me, little children say to me, I can't believe my dad. He even is kind, and he used to be as mean as the devil, and used to come home drunk or stay out all night long and come home drunk and as mean, as wicked as he could be. But since he got saved, he's the kindest, sweetest man and the gentlest man, and he's so good and happy. You know why? Because the best life in the whole world is the life of old, dirty sinners like us. You say, when we get to heaven, you're not going to stand up and say, well, bless God, I was a good fellow all my life, and that's why I got here. No, all you folks will be in hell. Two men came to pray at the temple. One man was a publican, dirty publican. Another man was a Pharisee, good man, clean man, separate man. He didn't drink. He didn't commit adultery. He tithed. He fasted. He was not an extortioner. He said, boy, Lord, I'm sure glad I'm not as this fella. I'll tell you, Lord, I'm just not a sinner, that's all. And one old man, the old publican, beat on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, he's the one that went to heaven. You know, there are a lot of people here, a lot of good people didn't ever go to the cities of refuge. Only bad people could go, and only bad folks can get saved, too. But there's a sixth city, and that's the last one, and it's Golan, G-O-L-A-N. Anybody ever hear the word Golan in Palestine? The Golan Heights area? That's right. There was the city of Golan, and that was the sixth city. Guess what that means? That means joy. That means joy. Hey, fellas, gather around here again, would you please? Boy, oh boy. Hey, look at them. Run, hurry, run. They're after you. They're after you. Hurry! Boy, it's good to be here.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. We ought to sing joy, joy, joy. Sing it. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Boy, isn't it good to be here. Huh? I wonder who the happiest folks are in all of Palestine. These guys that barely made it. Huh? Hey, look outside there. They're trying to get in. They can't get in. We're safe. They can't get to us. We're safe. And so they sing, He filled my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. And why? There's joy. Thank you, fellas. So folks come to our church and say, I wish they're more formal there. Yeah, I know. But if you ever were dirty sinners like we were, and took off for the city refuge and got in like we got in, you wouldn't care about being formal. You just want to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and say, ha, 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 ha. That's what you'd want to do. That's where the happiness is. That's where the happy folks are. If I can't understand your church. I know you can't, because you're a sinner and never has gone to the city of refuge yet. You get in the city of refuge and realize that you're safe as long as the high priest liveth.
Amen.
And you'll have joy. And in these six little words is a beautiful picture of salvation. A sinner, a murderer, comes to the city of refuge. What does he find? He finds a place for sinners. Thank God. What else does he find? He finds that Jesus puts him on his shoulder. Thank God. What else does he find? He finds a fellowship with other sinners that have been washed in the same blood of Calvary. What else does he find? He finds a stronghold of safety. He's safe as long as the high priest liveth. What else does he find? He finds the exalted place, the happiest place in all the world, and the place of joy. Now that's what God offers you this morning. You say, well, the church where I go, we're more dignified. Yeah, I know it. Because you're trying to get to heaven the wrong way. You're on the wrong road. You're not in the city of refuge. But you get in the city of refuge, and all of a sudden you stop and realize, my sins are gone. My name is written in heaven. Jesus said one time, he said, rejoice not, because the demons are subject to you. All over this country, we've got a bunch of exorcists and demon folks that are trying to cast out demons and so forth. I told a preacher the other day, he said, I'm casting out demons. I said, you got 14 on your deacon board you haven't cast out yet. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. What? Rejoice! Why? Because your names are written in heaven, that's why. And do you know what that word rejoice means? In the Greek, check it. In the Greek, it means jump up and down and click your heels together. It means, I am saved! My name is in heaven! Blessed be God. I'm in the city of refuge. This morning, if you don't know that you're saved, what you're looking for is a place for sinners. You don't know it. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, God has put eternity in our hearts. And you're not going to ever fill that empty spot that was eternity. It was eternity taken out of your heart. You'll never fill it with anything temporal. Say, I'm not happy. I'm going to try to make money. No, money is temporal. The reason you aren't happy is because eternity was taken out. We say, I'm going to get popular. Popularity won't do it. Why? Because it was eternity that was taken out. The only thing that's going to make you happy is when that thing that was taken out of man in the Garden of Eden is placed back in. And that's fellowship with an eternal God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? Huh? Are you in the city of refuge? Can you say, I'm rejoicing because my name is written in heaven? Well, God comes up and down these aisles and in these pews and says to you, if you don't know you're saved, I love you. And I want you to come to the city, even the city of heaven, made possible through the death of Christ for all murderers. And you're a murderer. You're a murderer. Every person in this room is a murderer. A murderer! A fellow one time picked me up, and a fellow 6'7" tall picked me up and threw me out of his house because I said that. I was in a little town called New Hope, Texas, in revival. A fellow said, I don't ever sin. I'm a good man. And I said, you're a murderer! You killed a man! Before I could tell him who it was, he picked me up with the seat of my breeches and the nap of my collar and tossed me out. And that night, when I was preaching revival, that night church time came. Somebody said, it's a big fella, 6'7", outside, wants to talk to you. I felt he was over north of the building, and I felt led to go south. But I went where he was. This big old fellow looked at me, and he said, you said I killed a man today. He said, you sound like you meant it. I never killed anybody. He said, I was mean to you, but I never killed anybody. And I said, yes, you did. And I helped you do it. You and I both put Jesus on the cross. And 6'7" of man fell on his face and received the Savior. And that's what God wants to do to you today.
Amen.
Forgive you for killing His Son. A murderer? Yeah. Yeah. But there's a city of refuge for murderers. Holiness. Shoulders. Fellowship. Security, exaltation, and joy. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the sweet salvation pictured so marvelously in this miraculous passage. We can picture now these men running toward the city. This fellow who had accidentally run over a child with his chariot. This man who had accidentally killed an old lady and didn't mean to. This man who had taken some stones and accidentally killed somebody. This man who had gotten in a fight and didn't mean to kill but did. We can see them running and huffing and puffing. And the road is broad and it's easy to find the city. And the arrow points to the city of refuge. And we can see them as they run to the door gate of the city and say, I've killed a man, let me in, let me in. And the gates open and in they walk. And the gates close, and they sigh and cry and shout and say, blessed be God, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe, hallelujah, I'm safe. May we realize that's a picture of anybody who wants to come to Jesus. The gates will swing open and they can come in, and the gates will close so the devil can never touch them. I pray that you'd help people who do not know Jesus to know him today. Our heads are bowed in prayer. Our eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I realized that I was a sinner one time. I knew it. And I heard about Jesus. And I fled to him for refuge as a sinner and trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please, way up high? Way up high. Thank you. You can drop your hands. I didn't see a lot of your hands go up. I saw some members of this church whose hands did not go up. I saw some visitors whose hands were not raised. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, but I wish I could. I could not raise my hand. I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that I'm saved, but I know I'm a sinner and I know I need to be. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want the peace of God in my soul. I do not know I'm saved, but I wish I did. Pray for me that I may be saved and know I'm going to heaven. Every eye is closed. On the lower floor, would you raise your hand and say with the raising of the hand, pray for me. I'd like to be saved and know it. Lift your hand way up high on the lower floor. God bless you, sir. God bless you, I see you. God bless you back in the back, fellow. You can put your hands down. Who else would say, include me in the prayer? On the main floor. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Raise your hand, would you please? On the main floor. Man, woman, boy, or girl.